You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have your company ahead of this titanic clash on Wednesday night. We have Chelsea versus Arsenal in the Europa League final. Azerbaijan, the destination, it's Baku for the final. Chelsea are 7-5 to win it. The draw 23-10 with Arsenal in the betting at 2-1. A full range of markets, as ever, on the William Hill website and on the app. Later on in the podcast, we'll hear from the Daily Mirror's chief football writer, John Cross, in conversation with Alex Dunn, who is here alongside me in the studio as well. Good morning, first of all, to you, or good afternoon to you, Alex Dunn.
Good afternoon, Dave, because if there's nothing better than me live, it's me pre-recorded.
There you go. So we will be linking into Alex Dunn pre-recorded from this live podcast very shortly. David McGovern, the stalwart of the Punt Podcast, is on the line as well. Feeling maybe a little bit tender after a boozy Sunday afternoon, Derek.
Yes, I should know better at my age now, but still you go for it and think I'll be all right tomorrow. And no, I'm not.
Let's talk about this final then. I suppose we better start with where it is. Baku, which the fans are having a devil's own job to organise transport to Baku, and it's going to be a pretty sparse crowd, you think, for the final. And of course, Henrik Mkhitaryan's not travelling with Arsenal as well. And that must be, I suppose, slightly difficult for the Arsenal players, some of them anyway, because you want to. It's a joyous occasion, isn't it? Europa League final. You want to like celebrate getting there, and it might have been a bit subdued in the training sessions and the lead up to the final, Derek, perhaps.
Well, yeah, but is the reaching the Europa League final that great anyway? I mean, come on. The winners get to play in the Champions League next season, which is a prize, but I think there should be a prize for the runners-up. I suggest never having to play in the Europa League again. It's not as if Europe is agog at the prospect of this match, isn't it? Can you name, the winners last year, either of you? It was Atletico Madrid against Marseille. I have no recollection of
I don't either, Derek, actually. I don't
know. It's a competition. Once you're in it, you can't get out of it. It's harder to get out of than a book club. I just can't get worked up for the game. Some Chelsea fans are claiming it's a good season because they've reached a European final and also the top four. But these are the teams they beat, Dave, in the Europa League. Vidi, Bati Borisov, Salonika, Malmo, Dynamo Kiev, Slavia Prague, and Eintracht Frankfurt, who didn't actually beat anyway. It was practically impossible for them not to reach the final. So I'm sorry, this is one of these games that just leave me cold.
Derek, Arsenal's route to the final, a bit more exciting. They've been a bit more impressive, shall we say, given they trounced Valencia in the semi-final. That performance in the Mestalla was very impressive. Has this been a successful transitional season for Arsenal? Because I think many people thought it would be difficult with such a legend, like I know how you think of Arsene Wenger as a legend, Derek, such a legend leaving the club, and then Unai Emery having to take command. Have you seen an improved Arsenal this season?
No, I haven't, because I mean they've lost 10 Premier League matches this season. In a season when Liverpool lost only one, they lost 10 Premier League games, and they lost more games away from home than they actually won. I just don't know. I don't think they've gone. I don't think they've improved since Wenger went. Not at all. On points they went far away from the top four, but they were really. You know, they had no business being flirting with the top four with a few games to go. It's been a real season to forget
for Arsenal. And I don't care what happens in Baku on Wednesday night, whether they win it or not. It won't make up for what's been a stinker of a season for them. And you look at them, and I can't see anything. Unless they invest heavily in the transfer market this summer, there's absolutely no way they'll be challenging for the title next season.
At the odds, Chelsea 7-5, the draw 23-10, Arsenal 2-1. Plenty of enhanced odds on the William Hill website as well. If you fancy Arsenal to score in both halves, that was 18-5. That's been boosted to 9-2. Eden Hazard to have over two shots on target was 4-1. That's 5-1. And I bet that a lot of people, I think, will be interested in. These are 90 minutes, by the way. Eden Hazard and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang both to score in the 90 minutes was 5-1. That's been boosted out to a 7-1. Maurizio Sarri's first season in charge, Alex, has been tumultuous. Sarri ball has been ridiculed by the fans. Some seeing his lack of imagination as a real negative this season, and the rigidity in which he sticks to his formation and his guns. And N'Golo Kante has been played out of position all season, and because of his absence in this final, picked up a knock in training, he's going to be out. Chelsea have actually drifted in the market.
Yeah, which is understandable. He's one of the best players in the world, particularly in his position. Although, what is his position? That's, I suppose, the question. But I think that when Sarri came in, the players warmed to what he wanted them to do so quickly. I thought, hang on, they could be a force to be reckoned with here.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just been, it's gone from bad to worse, I suppose. But yeah, the fact that they are in the Champions League already is a massive bonus for them, because they can play in this cup final just knowing that a win is a win. For Arsenal, there's actually a fair bit on this in terms of attracting players to come next season and join the club. What I do think is, despite the fact that Sarri is quite rigid in what he does, and Emery to a certain extent is, I think we'll see goals in this game, which has got to be a good thing, because it's a game that, as Derek said, as far as he's concerned, isn't the be-all and end-all, and maybe it isn't for these two sides either. They'll try and make it feel like it is, but I think we'll actually see a fair bit of free-flowing football. I don't think either side will be scared to lose this game, which is the key. I think we'll see a lot of goals.
OK, so maybe we're looking at over 2.5 goals, for instance, is available at 10 to 11. The under 2.5 is 4 to 5. What do you see as the key battles then here, Derek? Are you a Chelsea or an Arsenal man for this final?
Well, Chelsea deserves to be favourites because they've got, you know, the man, probably, you know, take Messi out of the equation, and Eden Hazard, I would say, is the best player in Europe. Tremendous player. Whether he'll be up for it, given that he looks almost certain to be on his way, I don't know. You can hark back to the time when Kevin Keegan played his last game for Liverpool in the European Cup final in 1977, and people were questioning what his motivation would be, and he gave the performance of his life in that game. If Hazard does that this week on Wednesday night, well, Chelsea will win. That's how good he is. He's a class apart. It's a difficult one to call, it really is. Arsenal have greater motivation because they need to be in the Champions League and victory gets them there.
Yeah.
Chelsea already in it. They don't look Chelsea as though they're playing for the manager. The manager doesn't look happy. The players don't look happy. The fans never look happy. I can't back Chelsea. What Arsenal don't have in their favour is a particularly good team. You know, I've been severely critical of them all season, and it'll tell you how bad the Europa League is if Arsenal win it. I'm finding this a tough one to call. One, there's two bets I've picked out here, Dave. One that you've already mentioned, Eden Hazard, over more than two shots on target, 5-1. You know, three shots on target, that's for Eden Hazard, I think. 5-1, that's a great bet. I love it. But it's an interesting one. Instinctively, you think the second half will be a higher scoring half because the European final, they're going to be a little bit cagey at first. And then they'll open up in the second half. You know, a lot of matches work out that way, which is why it's even for the second half to be the highest scoring game, 2-1 for the first half. But say it doesn't turn out like that. In the two league matches this season between the sides, it was 2-2 at half-time in one of them and 2-0 at half-time in the other, and that's the way it finished. There's one goal in the second half in the first match. What I'm saying is the first half has been the highest scoring half in both league games. Why shouldn't it be in the final? And it's 2-1, so that's another bet I like.
Okay, yeah, I quite like that. You mentioned Eden Hazard. I think you brought up Kevin Keegan there as well. Hazard's just such a consummate professional, Derek. He's not one of those mercenaries, really, who's just in it for the... It doesn't seem to be anyway. You don't know what's happening behind closed doors, but mercenaries that's just attracted by the cash. He's given He always gives it his all for Chelsea, and I think he'll want to go out on a real high, I think, Derek.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. I mean, you would, if he's going to Real Madrid, and it looks like he is, you wouldn't really want to be going out and having stunk a place out in the European final. You know, it's impossible for him to stink a place out. He's just that good. You're right. He's given Chelsea some great years. You know, a little bit of niggle and the worry now when his last season went under Mourinho, he didn't seem to try a leg. Mm. You know, there is that worry, but he's just a sensational player. And if he's on form, Chelsea will probably win it.
He's 4-1 to score first, Eden Hazard. And you've got to mention Olivier Giroud in there as well. I know he's not featured much in the Premier League this season, but he is the joint top scorer in this competition, along with Eintracht Frankfurt's Luka Jovic. And Hazard seems to shine alongside Olivier Giroud. I think for Hazard, Alex, he'll want Giroud alongside him, or just playing in front of him rather than Gonzalo Higuain in this match.
Yeah, Giroud is selfless, isn't he? He'd make me look all right if I was playing next to him. Wouldn't be the most mobile front two I've ever seen.
No, I think you're too similar, I think, to play alongside each other.
But I just think, we were talking about this earlier, Derek. How many players do you think from Arsenal's best 11 would actually get into Chelsea's?
That's an interesting point, because I think Chelsea have got a great squad. You know, I looked at them early in the season. I thought, what a team that is! You know, I can't believe that they didn't have a better season. And it may be because they didn't try it on for the manager. But no, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't think. Let me think. Probably one of the two strikers again in Aubameyang. I'm not sure about Lacazette, but that's about it. I can't think of another Chelsea player.
I had the strikers would add something, and that is about it. Holding midfielders. I know Kante's out of the final, but he's much better. I'd take Barkley over, well, Ozil, if you're going to have one. I know they're not playing exactly the same position.
Yeah.
I think Torreira, maybe you could find a role for him. But I wouldn't have any of Arsenal's defence over any of Chelsea's, personally. Mm. Which makes me think that Chelsea are worth a bet here, as far as I'm concerned.
They're 4-6 to lift the trophy. Arsenal 11-10 in that market. Give us your best bets for the game then, Alex.
Well, I think it's worth noting as well, for all this is not an away game as such, Arsenal's away form would have to be a concern. Now, I know it's not an away game, and it'll be a weird atmosphere, obviously, with the lack of fans for either side there. But Arsenal's last away win in a Premier League game against a Big Six side was January 2015. Now, I know it's not quite an away game, but still, it's a big ask to go and do that. Chelsea's away form hasn't been great against the big sides. Mm. Their last away win against the Big Six in the Premier League was against Spurs at the start of the season before last. So again, Not a major tick in the box, but I think Chelsea to lift the trophy 4-6 is absolutely fine if there's something else that you like, you know, maybe in the Champions League final on Saturday. Chelsea 7-5 I like, but Chelsea and both teams to score 7-2, and that's big as far as I'm concerned. I can see Arsenal scoring here. I think Lacazette and Aubameyang, as we've mentioned, they are dangers, but I just cannot see Arsenal getting even close to shutting Chelsea out. They've kept one clean sheet away from home in the Premier League all season, Arsenal, and that was against Watford. And Watford were down to 10 men after 10 minutes, after Troy Deeney got sent off. They just won't be able to shut them out. So in terms of the more conventional markets, Chelsea both teams to score at 7-2, I really like. There is one of the your odds markets that I do like, though, which is Aubameyang to have at least one shot on target in each half, 7-2. Seems a fair price. I've said it. I think it'll be a fairly open encounter. And I think that's overpriced. But Chelsea, certainly the bet for me. I think they'll win. They'll probably land the handicap as well. But I've said both teams will score. So you're immediately looking at a 3-1 or over 3.5 goals. Maybe even 4.5 could land here. I think it'll be genuinely entertaining.
I hope it is. Do check out those hashtag your odds markets as well. There's loads of them. You've got your traditional ones, and then you've got your player stat ones as well in there. So tweet using that hashtag your odds to at William Hill, and the traders will price up. There's already hundreds of hashtag your odds markets available on the Europa League final. And of course, we have all the enhancements as well available online and on the William Hill app. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Alex Dunn, thank you.
Thanks.
You're going to hear more from Alex Dunn in a few moments' time, because he earlier on in the week caught up with John Cross, the Daily Mirror's chief football writer, and Alex started by asking him, or suggesting, this game means more to Arsenal than Chelsea with the Champions League up for grabs.
Now, I must say, I sort of attended Arsenal and Chelsea's press media day, sort of the Europa League open days this week, And it's actually a very sort of kind of popular question across both. Who is more motivated for this? But actually, what I would say is that while I think Arsenal have got more at stake simply because it's not just the European trophy for Arsenal, it's Champions League qualification, which is at stake. Chelsea already qualified for the Champions League by finishing third place. I do still think we overlook the fact that in a player's career, I think you get very, very few opportunities to win a European trophy. And I think that whatever we think about the Europa League, and I think, you know, sort of the stage in the final and Baku certainly doesn't help the competition's reputation, I still think it is a European trophy at the end of the day. And I think that basically that will serve as motivation still for Chelsea. Yeah. But I do think you're right. I think that in motivational stakes, I do think there's slightly much more of an edge there, because I think we also underestimate what it means, I think, for a professional player at the height of his powers, at the sort of, you know, the height of his career, you know, players like Lacazette, players like sort of Aubameyang, they're desperate to play in the Champions League, absolutely desperate, and Chelsea have already got that. So I do think that basically Arsenal have got a little bit more to play for, but that European trophy still shines bright no matter what we think of Europa League.
Now, my next question, I write down notes before I talk to podcast guests, and it simply says, Baku, why?
Oh, dear. The funny thing is about this, in 2017, the decision was taken, and so I can understand that basically a lot of people are right in what they say. Well, the big English clubs are sort of kind of, you know, shouting and arguing about it now, should have shouted a bit louder and kind of supported them. You know, I think people have even reported that basically, you know, the former Arsenal chief executive, Ivan Gazidis, sort of kind of was on the panel that sort of chose it. And look, I do think that one thing we shouldn't shy away from is saying that UEFA are right, I think, to take this competition, which is big for a lot of the smaller nations that sort of kind of get in the group stages around Europe. So it becomes a bit more of an attractive thing. I mean, next year it's in Gdansk. Mm. They're going to decide in September what the venue is for 2021. And one of the three is Tbilisi. So, you know, good luck in getting there, because, blimey, I've been to Tbilisi before, and an interesting city it is, but it's not that much easier, I think people will find, than getting to Baku, which I've also been to before. And I think they're trying to share amongst, you know, the sort of the smaller UEFA nations' cities that basically they're trying to share about the Europa League. They're like, you know, there's a third UEFA competition coming in, and I'm sure, again, that will mean that basically maybe they might upgrade the Europa League slightly and sort of kind of share around the third competition a little bit more. But basically, it has to be said, you know, that basically I think UEFA, you know, are essentially right in what they're doing, trying to share it around. But the downside is, if you look at the recent past of Europa League competitions and finalists, they've been big, you know, big nations, big teams. You had Man United, you've had Liverpool. Right. The Liverpool final against Seville was a huge one. And equally Man United and Ajax, and they've been big, big competitions, big matches, big, big finals. So I think we also shouldn't disguise the fact that basically it was always, I think, likely to be a big final because there were big teams in it. And so I think now to be staging it in Baku, all English final, a London derby in Baku, is just madness. It really does put it sort of a different context on it. Fans are struggling to get there. I do think 3 weeks ago they could have said, do you know what, there's a very, very good chance we'll get an All England final. What about putting Wembley on standby and maybe saying to Baku, look, I'm really, really sorry, but we're going to have to delay this until 2021 and sort of put it off for another day. Because the fact that Arsenal and Chelsea got 6,000 tickets each for their allocation, Arsenal would normally sell that 20 times over for the European final. And they've struggled so far to you know, sell even half their allocation. Chelsea likewise, and it's an absolute shocker. You know, that has embarrassed UEFA. the fact that, that Henrikh Mkhitaryan can't get there because of political issues between Armenia and Azerbaijan is again another embarrassment for UEFA. Shouldn't be allowed to happen. Can you imagine if it were Chelsea and Eden Hazard,
yeah,
or Barcelona and Lionel Messi? I mean, it just doesn't bear thinking about. And, you know, Mkhitaryan, for all his faults, and he's had a few this season, has been quite an influential, important player in the Europa League.
Yeah.
And now he can't play in this final. That's a joke. And, you know, it really is. It's a sorry state of affairs. Doesn't do this competition any favours whatsoever.
It is rare as well that you have a cup final where, in the build-up to it, there's more discussion on a player that isn't going to be taking part than those that are. Like you said, Mkhitaryan is not the be-all and end-all for Arsenal, but nevertheless, he's an important squad player. He would play a part in that final. And the fact that he can't be there, surely, it in this day and age, just seems a little bit baffling, John.
Totally unacceptable, I think. I you know, it's all over, basically, the disputed territory, and obviously Armenia and, you know, Azerbaijan, and very, very poor political relations. And I mean, I filled in my visa form to go to Azerbaijan, and I'm sort of one of the lucky ones to be going. But you know, one of the first thing that flags up is basically about, you know, being Armenian and this disputed territory. So, which is the reason why, you know, Mkhitaryan feels he cannot go because he's been there. And I also think that obviously, you know, UEFA have gone out their way, and Azerbaijan have gone out their way to say, look, there's no issue. We'll offer reassurances, but that obviously isn't enough for Mkhitaryan. And Mkhitaryan, I have to say, I'm sure that he would be acutely aware of the backlash against him. He's a national hero, he's a national icon, of whether, you know, of what his status in his own country would be if he went to and played in Azerbaijan. And you have to take that seriously. People kind of dismiss that, oh, he's just worried about himself. Well, absolutely he is. And he's also worried about, I guess, the knock-on effect of security and whether his Arsenal teammates would feel safe. And I think that, again, is a serious consideration. And so I think in all those points, you have to say, well, actually, I can understand why he's not going, but the fact that he feels he cannot go, I think, is another really damning reason of this ridiculous Baku farm.
You mentioned the fact that both sides had received only 6,000 tickets each, and neither side has sold out. Sponsors have given tickets back as well. There's every chance that this game's going to be played in front of a half-full stadium, which, again, for a cup final and, you know, a pretty competitive, hotly anticipated cup final as well, it just beggars belief, doesn't it?
It really does. It would be such a shame if you know, a European final isn't sold out. I do think some of the tickets, you know, fans will be returned, and obviously, I guess it's an opportunity to get rid of those locally. UEFA insists that basically sponsors haven't returned tickets. Well, you know, let's see, but I think it'll be a really interesting sort of drop of that. And I think that if there's one thing that can come out of this, then maybe, just maybe, UEFA might reevaluate where they hold finals, the standing of Europa League, because let's be honest here, it's a competition that a lot of nations don't take particularly seriously. They feel weakened teams, you know, they sort of chop and change throughout the groups, they fall by the wayside. English teams, in particularly, I think it's always been an embarrassment, I think, for the Premier League, that teams don't take it a bit more seriously. It doesn't put on a very good advert for our league, I don't think. And then the one year that they do take it seriously and we have two English teams in the final, the fans can't get there. I mean, it's just such a shame, you know. I think it really is, you know, it's a difficult one to explain and justify, this one.
Let's try and talk about slightly more positive matters, John. And that is the two sides in question, Chelsea and Arsenal. As a football match, and we're focusing solely on the players that will be out on the pitch, this has all the makings of a game that literally could be anything. You've got sides that on their day look sublime. Equally, particularly away from home, both sides this season have had moments where they've been absolutely abysmal, haven't they?
They really have. And I think that's maybe summed up by the two games, isn't it? I think if you look at the two Premier League games this season, you know, Chelsea start, made that really impressive start, and we all thought, wow, Maurizio Sarri is going to be really good. And there is still a school of thought, by the way, that it's not a bad season after all, finishing third and in the European final. But basically, you know, Chelsea stormed into that two-goal lead at Stamford Bridge. Arsenal pegged them back, and then Chelsea went and won it. And I think that then the basic, you contrast that with the way that Arsenal absolutely comprehensively beat Chelsea at the Emirates, you know, in the return fixture, when it was high tempo, high intensity, and they were far too good for Chelsea, and they couldn't handle them. And so that's the two sides of Unai Emery, you know, sort of trying to bed in, I guess, early days and trying to find his way. But also, sometimes it's been a bit unpredictable, you know, under Emery. But then there's also been really, really high points, and then that Chelsea game was one of them. Sarri, by contrast, I think, you know, started really well. I think some of his football hasn't been particularly flexible. The tactics haven't been great. And I think that it's, you know, that obviously is a difficult one to sort of kind of get your head around. Where are Chelsea quite under Sarri? You know, which sort of system and what formation will kind of works well for him? You know, it's not been a particularly sort of happy marriage as far as the fans are concerned. But I just think at the end of the day, you've got Chelsea who have got a lot of experienced winners. I think they've probably got more experienced kind of, you know, sort of players who've won trophies against Arsenal, who are more motivated by the fact that they are, you know, haven't probably won enough. And so I think you've got that hunger and determination and desire of Arsenal against that kind of Chelsea's, you know, sort of experienced campaigners, and they have won trophies along the way. There's a lot of kind of title winners in that Chelsea team, you know, the sort of kind of remainers of their sort of, you know, last Europa League winning success, if you like. So, I think it's a really interesting contrast. And at the heart of it all, are we going to get a classic London derby straight out of the Premier League, which is guts and gusto, or are we going to get a slightly more technical, standoffish, considered European game? And I actually think that we will end up getting somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I think that the teams will treat it as something of a European game, but at the same time they'll bring a bit more intensity, and I think it'll end up being a really interesting game, a really interesting advert for the Premier League, and I do think it'll be a fascinating watch.
We make Chelsea favourites here at William Hill, John. Are you in agreement with that? If I had to make you put a prediction up, who is going to lift the trophy?
Yeah, I would slightly edge for Chelsea. I just do feel that, as I say, they've got that little bit more experience. They've got Eden Hazard, who I think, if you looked across the two sets of players, he would be the sort of the standout match winner. Mm. Even if I say, obviously, Aubameyang's got that, you know, potential for the spectacular. You know, Lacazette has been voted Arsenal's Player of the Year, so that tells you just what they think of him. And, you know, I just feel that Chelsea have got that slight edge. But if Arsenal find that intensity and that tempo, then they can definitely, you know, blow Chelsea away. But I just think that Chelsea might have that edge and experience. I think it'll be an incredibly tight game. And it still comes down to that, you know, who's motivated more. Because I think motivation shouldn't be dismissed as a big thing here. Because the other thing I think that's taken into consideration is that both teams will have had 3 weeks off before beyond the end of the Premier League season. And what a really weird situation that is. Arsenal played a behind closed doors practice game on Thursday. They go against Austrian opposition just to kind of try and keep their intensity, match sharpness up. You know, Chelsea have obviously had similar, you know, sort of issues and challenges. And I think it might come down to the fact that these two teams, you know, will be thinking, blimey, this hasn't done us any favours, you know, behind the end of the season. And that will be a serious consideration. Who goes into it sharpest, most fired up, most motivated? Because I think both teams will be cursed the fact that basically, that you know, I think they could have done with a week less, let's put it like that.
Okay. So if I was pushing you for a scoreline, what would it be?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I will go for Chelsea to win 2-1.
2-1 Chelsea for John Cross. John, enjoy it. Hopefully it is an enjoyable game. Hopefully an enjoyable journey for you as well. Fingers crossed we have an entertaining clash, Chelsea and Arsenal. John, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks very much indeed for having me.
Thank you then to Alex Dunn and John Cross for their look at the Europa League final. Some of the big talking points ahead of the game on Wednesday night. Thank you everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast, and of course Derek McGovern for his company as well. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the William Hill app. The Europa League final hopefully will be a classic. Chelsea taking on Arsenal in Baku. All the odds available online now, including those enhancements and hashtag your odds as well. Enjoy it, the Europa League final with William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.